And welcome to Lambda Weekly. I'm David Taffet, and I am here in the studio with Laurent Landis, with Patty Fink, with Alex the intern. Our guest today is Louise Young. You can friend us on Facebook, download podcasts of the show on lambdaweekly.com. But first, today's
pledge drive.
And for pledge drive, we have an all new way to donate to KNON, the all new KNON bank draft, KNON and Bank of America. Call us now. Tell us how you would like to start a bank draft. You can do it with your checking or savings account. And make an automatic monthly draft that will occur from your account. It's easy. You select the amount to come from your account every month, pledge a dollar a day to keep KNON on the air, and that's only $30 a month. Call now, and we'll need to send you all the information that you need to start. If you do make a pledge and you'd like to pledge just with a credit card, you can do that too. Pledging by credit card or sending us a check for a $25 check, we can give you an Alligator Cafe gift certificate. For a $40 pledge, we have a t-shirt. For a $35 pledge, a green KNON tote bag. For a $100 pledge, a KNON concert chair. You don't have to remember all this. Alex is going to be on the phone. He will take your pledge. He'll have all the information.
He is standing by and waiting for your call. So please give Alex a call.
And our number is 972-647-1893. Again, that's 972-647-1893. Talk to Alex all afternoon.
And we really do mean all afternoon, because Jennifer's off at the Oktoberfest fundraiser at Sons of Herman Hall. Come join us over there, because Alex and I will be over there after the polka show. Laurent's staying for the polka show. You are staying
for
the polka
show.
Yes, so it's going to be polka David, polka Laurent, polka Alex the intern. Are you staying, Patty?
No.
No polka Patty?
No polka Patty.
Oh, and no polka Louise?
No polka.
No polka Louise.
Polka in spirit.
Rick, are you staying for the polka show? No, Rick is not staying for the polka show either. So just the gay guy and the black guy are doing the polka show today. So stick around. It should be a train wreck.
Right.
And and we'll be doing pledge drive next couple of hours too. But the polka festival should be a lot of fun. Byron from the Harvesters, which is one of the polka groups performing, he was on our show last week on the polka show. A lot of fun, and it's fun music. It really is fun music.
It is.
So we had a good time. So give us a call though. KNON is raising money, as we do every quarter. The number is 972-647-1893. This is the last week of our pledge drive for this quarter. We're not going to do what that other station did was when they didn't raise enough money. They extended their pledge drive last time by an extra week. And the time before that, they just pretended that they raised enough money. And we don't do that.
You know, Lambda Weekly's been on KNON since 1983. And in that time, we've had so many community groups and organizations and great people doing great work in our community, promoting their events, talking about important issues. And if you're involved in one of those organizations that's been on the air, please call in with your pledge and help support us so we can stay on the air and talk about your organizations and your community events in the future.
Absolutely. You know, I've always said, Patty, you're right. If there's anybody who's anybody in the GLBT community in Dallas, they've probably been on the Lambda Weekly show at least once. You know.
Oh, definitely, and many, many, many times.
Many times.
And speaking of people who have been on more than once, welcome, Louise.
Thanks, David and everyone. I'm so pleased to be back again.
Yeah, we realize this is the first time Louise has been in this studio. She was at our old studio many, many times. And we're thrilled to have you back. Louise has been a longtime activist in the gay community, helped start the gay and lesbian, the LGBT employee groups at several companies, and yourself.
I co-founded the group at Texas Instruments in 1993 when I was an employee there, and we had a very, very active employee resource group. And then in 1997, when the defense part of Texas Instruments was sold to Raytheon, which is based in a suburb of Boston, I went with that group, and we kept the LGBT employee resource group. We became very active. We We're recognized by the company as an employee resource group. And by the way, Raytheon in 2005 was the first company, first defense company in America to add, to score 100% on the Human Rights Campaign's Corporate Equality Index, which is a measure, it's the yardstick for good workplace policies for GLBT people. So we're very, very proud of our score there. And by the way, over half of the Fortune 500 companies now score 100% on the HRC Equality Index. And
yeah, it's like you, Exxon.
Exxon's still at zero. Not so much, but a number of the defense companies now are 100%. And what's interesting, I think, is in this whole sea change in corporate America is that the decision makers who decide whether or not to approve policies that are fair and equitable for LGBT employees in the workplace are basing it really kind of on the bottom line, what's good for the corporation. And we've seen just, we have really seen a dramatic change back in 2002 when the HRC started its Corporate Equality Index. There were only 22 companies that scored 100%. And now there are more than 200.
And the qualifications have gone up.
The qualifications are going up for next year's score. So we're certainly hoping to keep our 100%, but next year the qualifications are going up, and one of the, I think, the main differences will be full health benefits for transgender employees. So that you will have to have that to score 100%.
That's tremendous, and I know that's one of the increments they instituted a number of years ago was to add gender identity and expression to the,
right.
to protections in the workplace.
That is correct, and that was a big one. And you know, for many corporations, that was kind of a leap of faith when they did adopt gender identity expression, because just in my now almost 40 years of activism, 39 and some months, you know, I can see that there seems to be some kind of threshold of socialization of issues before there is corporate adoption of them. And, you know, you have to know so many gay people or see so many movies or have TV shows like Will and Grace. And the socialization of transgender issues in America has not been at the level that the socialization of lesbian gay issues were, but corporations stood up and made a leap of faith and adopted those good workplace policies, and it's paying off.
I think partially they did it because it's the LGBT community and not the gay and lesbian community, the transgender community, and listening to their gay and lesbian employees who they trust. You know,
yes.
People who they put into positions of power, like you, Louise, who has said, you know, these are good people too.
Well,
and when you say leap of trust, that's what.
And I think it is, and not only that. Quite frankly, they're some of the brightest minds in, I'll say, in particularly in technology and engineering. Some outstanding contributors are transgender. And let me give you one example. It would be Professor Lynn Conway, who transitioned back in the 60s when she was an employee of IBM. Well, IBM found out. They fired her. She transitioned anyway and went on to a distinguished career. And Lynn Conway was one of the small group of people that established the principles of what we now use for our supercomputers. So this is a trans woman, and she has a fascinating website called lynnconway.com that you can just read all about not only her but notable trans people in not only history but in as contributors mm-hmm. in corporate America. So it's a great policy. By the way, before I take a breath, I want to get in a plug for Out and Equal Workplace Advocates, which is the nation's largest organization that is purely focused on workplace, improving workplace for LGBT folks. And there are national affiliates around the country, one of which is in Dallas-Fort Worth. And if you go to Out and Equal, not the ampersand, but outandequal.org, read all about it, click on regional affiliates. You can get back down to the Dallas affiliate. Jeff Snook at Sodexo is the local chair, and you can read about it and how to get involved.
Mm-hmm. You know, one of the things, I had worked for a large company for a short time, and you were saying that companies have to see that it's good for their bottom line.
Yes.
This company didn't like to talk about gay anything, but they didn't. But they had full equality, and I'm not sure what their rating was, but it was way up there.
Yeah.
There might have been something that they didn't offer that didn't give them the 100%, but they were close. But they always said to anybody from the company, because very conservative company, you can imagine I fit in real well, but it was a very conservative company. They didn't want to talk about these things, but they did say, you know, in your house, I want to make sure everybody in your household is covered because I don't want you to have to take days off because they're sick. We want everybody in your household covered because, you know what, the more people that we cover on our policy, the cheaper the policy is per person. And it was good for their bottom line.
Oh, it absolutely is good.
Yeah, yeah.
It's about productivity, and you point out two very good issues. One is the individual productivity of the LGBT employee, and that is you do not have to spend time worrying about whether your loved ones are covered on your insurance or whether or not you'll be discovered to be lesbian, gay, bisexual, or transgendered by someone on your workplace team, and you'll be
out and fired
or out and not welcomed as a contributing member of the team. So we have come a long way. Mm-hmm. It's just incredible to see the difference from when I started being an activist in 1971. Wow.
Well, you know, there is an interesting issue now in the news about Target.
Right.
Which I think a lot of LGBT people enjoy shopping at.
Yes.
Target, of course.
Target. and with this new Supreme Court decision that allows corporations to contribute money to campaigns, you know, Target has been a big funder of, say, Pride in Minneapolis, where they're based, and they've been very LGBT friendly and have policies in place and such. But they really came across a misfire on their whole corporate approach by giving money to this PAC that's funding a really virulently anti-gay candidate in Minnesota. So now they've pulled back and apologized and said, we're going to have to look at our policies overall to say, are we being consistent?
And made a big donation just yesterday to a gay and lesbian group.
Really?
Yes.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Excellent. But I think that's another little pioneering piece of ground that companies are going to have to look at. How can we be consistent and not the left hand giving to people who demonize our policies on the right hand where we embrace diversity?
And that's exactly right. And I think the whole word is consistent. And that is, are the people that we support as candidates for elective office and what they stand for, are those consistent to our business standards and what we have internally for all of our employees?
And to be fair to Target, chances are the reason they contributed to this guy was he was talking about lower taxes. But shame on them for not looking at the whole
person. Well, and in fact, the PAC that they gave the money to, its only issue was fiscal issues. But ultimately, they gave it to a candidate who has lots more issues.
Right.
Well, you know, you say shame on you, but I actually applaud them because they could have easily stood their ground or attempted to stand their ground and say, you know, this had nothing to do with gay issues, but it was about
lowering taxes. But they were facing a huge boycott.
But they apologize. How many companies have apologized
for
our community?
I'm celebrating that they did apologize.
Yeah, I think that's huge if they apologize.
But they also, the reality was they were facing a huge boycott.
They were.
I haven't been in a Target since then.
I went to Target yesterday.
And yesterday was when they made the donation. Louise, one of the reasons we had you on was because of this Proposition 8 decision that came out this week. I do want to remind everybody before we get to that topic that it is Pledge Drive. The number is Metro 972-647-1893. You know, we were talking about companies that support the gay and lesbian community. I can't think of a company that supports the gay and lesbian community more than KNON and Agape Broadcasting, which is the parent company. In 1983, when this station went on the air, they came to the Dallas Gay and Lesbian Alliance, Gay Alliance at the time, asked DGA to start a show on the air, and it's one of like five or six shows from 1983 still on the air on this station. We need your support, though, in order to keep it on the air. KNON has supported this community before the Dallas Voice was around. TWIT was brand new at the time. There was no other gay media. We didn't even know what a gay and lesbian show was at the time.
Well, that's right. And you know, I've been a listener all these years, and it is very important to have our own media that we can go to every week and hear the news and hear the stories of our lives. It's very important, not just for the people in the Dallas area, but all the people that the show reaches, even beyond Dallas, because, say, during Pledge Drive, I hear people calling in from, you know, outside the Dallas area.
Sure, because you can hear us on the internet, KNON.org. All the shows are streamed mm-hmm. live. You can hear us on our website, lambdaweekly.com.
Download our podcast at iTunes.
Mm-hmm. Well, all of those. And you know, what I want to know before we go any further is, how much of a pledge do I have to give to get one of those cool backpacks? There's one up on the wall.
That is a $50 pledge. I always carry one. They are nice, strong
canvas. I'm right now, I'm going to give Alan, the intern, my Visa card number, and before I leave the studio, and I'd like to challenge everybody to make a pledge. If you can't make a $50 pledge, call in, because you know there's a lot of history in this program, and you don't realize it. You just don't realize it until you can see. I remember when it first started, mm-hmm. and it is so important. So call in with your pledge, how even if it's a small pledge.
Sure, a $5 and $10 pledge, absolutely welcome.
Yeah.
Absolutely welcome. A $35, actually a $30 pledge gets you a pledge bonus. That's the package of full city roast. It's an 8-ounce bag of full city roast coffee. After the show, LaRon and Alex and I will be doing the polka show, but Patty's going out to the slopes of KNON to pick the coffee beans to pack in those coffee bags. Actually, it's a good coffee, though, despite the fact Patty is the one picking the beans.
Well, thank you, Louise. That's really appreciate your support.
Well, listen, it's from the heart, too, and I hope that all the listeners today will consider what they can do. Large or small.
If we think back to the original co-hosts, the founding co-hosts, we had the late Buck Massey. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Bill Nelson.
Alonzo Duralde was
He wasn't one of the original ones. He's one of the group that replaced the original couple when Bill left to run for city council because of fairness rules at the time.
Right. We have a very rich history mm-hmm. here at Lambda Weekly. And it would be great to hear your voice chiming in to say, keep doing it.
972-647-1893.
If it's time to get rid of your old gas guzzler, the KNON Vehicle Donation Program can help. There's still a market for those old vehicles, and if you donate it, you're helping support quality programming here on KNON. Just call 877-KNON-AUTO or go online at knon.org. We'll take care of everything from free pickup to sending you your tax paperwork. 877-KNON-AUTO.
It's the hottest polka party of the summer is Sunday, August 8th, when KNON presents the KNON Oktoberfest at the Sons of Herman Hall in Dallas. Come out and join Polka Jennifer and David of North Texas Polka Radio for a summer polka celebration KNON benefit. You've been asking for it, and so now we are doing it. Be there for great polka music from the Harvesters and the Jody Mikula Orchestra. There'll be an accordion jam session in the bowling alley downstairs. Tasty food will be provided by the Bavarian Grill and Kolache Station. Advanced tickets are available now at KNON.org, the Kolache Station, and Bavarian Grill in Plano. Bring the whole family for the joy of polka on a Sunday afternoon at the historic Sons of Herman Hall, a true Texas dance hall in Dallas. It's fine music, food, and fun with the Harvesters, Jody Mikula Orchestra, an accordion jam, Kolache Station, the Bavarian Grill, and North Texas Polka Radio at the KNON Oktoberfest, Sunday, August 8th. Doors open at 1 p.m. and music starts at 2. The Sons of Herman Hall is located at 3414 Elm Street in Dallas. The number at the Sons is 214-747-4422. For more information, KNON.org or 214-828-9500, extension 227.
You're listening to Lambda Weekly on 89.3 KNON FM HD1 in Dallas and Fort Worth, the voice of the people.
And welcome back to Lambda Weekly. Here in the studio with the Ron Landis, Patty Fink, Alex the intern, waiting for your calls at 972-647-1893 because it is Pledge Drive. Our guest is Louise Young. And this week, of course, Judge Vaughn Walker destroyed traditional, hot, sweaty, meaningless gay relationships as they've existed since biblical times through his... Everybody's looking at me like I'm nuts. Am I the only one who... No. Louise, tell us a little bit about what this decision actually meant, because it was huge. It was not just a regular decision. It was huge.
Well, and first of all, I'm not a lawyer. I'm a software engineer. But being an activist, I was very, very interested in this decision, and I wanted to do some research. And fortunately, we have at our disposal the internet, and so there were a lot of really great articles on the internet on exactly what the decision means. And by the way, you can go. Ron says you can go out to what website and download it. It's the court's website.
You can go
website.
To the court's website.
And when you say the court, you mean?
And it is, here it is right here.
George.
It's courtinfo.ga.gov.
G-A or C-A?
I'm sorry, C-A.gov. And you can just find the exact court that it would happen.
Be Judge Walker's court.
Judge Walker's court.
Okay, and
but it is on there.
It's an amazing if you
it's
read.
It's on the Dallas Voice website too. So
right, and if
oh,
you
it is? Okay.
If you read the text, it's amazing that the detail that Judge Walker, and again Judge Vaughn Walker, was first proposed for the bench in 1987 by President Ronald Reagan. And this guy was considered, you know, more or less a conservative, and he was defeated back then by the Democrats, because I think they must have had control of the of the Judiciary Committee in the Senate anyway. George Bush, the father, appointed him in 1988
or 9.
Yes,
yeah.
88 or 89. You're right. I think it was 89. At any rate, you know, he has not been thought of as a liberal judge. Now, his decision was based mostly around the 14th Amendment to the Constitution. And here we get into a little history, but let me tell you folks who are listening. This decision puts a square in the middle of watching history unfold in its most exciting sense, that we are actually seeing the Constitution of the United States of America applied to our lives. And it literally gives me goosebumps to think of all the things I've been fighting for all of these years. I mean, this is my personal opinion. And to see it actually validated by a judge writing a decision, making his decision based on the 14th Amendment to the Constitution. And I have a little book on the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution in the United States that was given to me by my very good activist friend, Steve Atkinson, with an inscription saying, "It's still ours." The 14th Amendment, I want to read just one sentence out of it, and he starts his decision with this. And the 14th Amendment, "No state shall make or enforce any law which shall abridge the privileges or immunities of citizens of the United States, nor shall any state deprive any person of life, liberty, or property without due process of law, nor deny to any person within its jurisdiction the equal protection of laws." And it's called the Due Process Clause of the Constitution. It was approved, it was ratified July the 9th, 1868, as a response to the end of slavery in the United States. So this is really amazing.
But it's been applied to all kinds of
things. It's been applied to all kinds of things throughout the years, and it's, you know, it's the cornerstone of this particular decision. And Judge Walker found that Proposition 8 violates the Constitution, the 14th Amendment, because it prevents the plaintiffs, a lesbian couple and a male couple in California, from marrying their person of choice. And it prevents, he said, the choice of a marriage partner is sheltered by the 14th Amendment. And he also said the evidence shows Proposition 8 does nothing more than enshrine in the California Constitution the notion that opposite-sex couples are superior to same-sex couples.
And that was one of the more striking things for me, besides just, you know, the decision of this case. But I guess if you read the decision, it's in layman's terms. I mean, it's not a lot of big legal words.
It's a wonderful read. Put down whatever book
exactly.
You've
anybody can read
absolutely
this and understand this. And I love the fact that he pointed out that this is basically, you know, no other reason to discriminate against gay and lesbian couples is because straight couples see themselves as superior to ours. And that he's absolutely right.
Well, you know, you're absolutely right too, Louise, about the everything we've been fighting for. If you pick any issue, whether it's don't ask, don't tell, employment issues, family issues, property ownership, wills, estate planning, I mean, pick something we've been fighting for all of this time, and it falls under that equal protection of the laws.
Right.
What I love about this decision is that it's, first of all, written in clear English, that it's very evidentiary based. It's not, you know, normally when you see a decision, it's going to be, well, this side presented this, that side presented that, but the law as it applies goes here. He didn't do that. He knocked down the defense, the opposition side. He knocked down each of their witnesses. He called Blankenhorn, who was there. David Blankenhorn he has a PAC or a think tank or something, an anti-gay think tank. He said Blankenhorn lacks qualifications to offer opinion testimony and in any event failed to provide cogent testimony in support of the proponent's factual assertions. He basically called him unqualified and a quack, and then he said even if he did, if he wasn't, he didn't say anything worthwhile. That's, you know, how much more from a judge could you get? One of the plaintiffs was going to be one of their witnesses and then removed himself from the case. So the plaintiffs called him as a witness. So in other words, he's one of the defense people, and he was so bad that the other side called him as a witness, that our side called him.
Well, then, you know, the amazing thing, and again, you know, this is drama in its truest sense, and I hope that everybody listening will take the time to go out on the internet, because we have the resources, you have the resources at your disposal to do some research on this. And I was reading something that I wrote about the decision, that in the decision, Judge Walker noted that Proposition 8 was based on tradition and moral disapproval of homosexuality, and that those two things, i.e. tradition and moral disapproval, are not legal grounds for discrimination. Mm-hmm. That, everybody, has been what we've been saying all these years.
Because absolutely. Slavery was a tradition, mm-hmm. didn't make it legal.
Exactly.
Or that, right, or moral, right. Or okay.
And we all know that whether we work or play, just because that's the way we've always done it, mm-hmm. doesn't mean that that's the right thing to do.
Well, I want to talk a little bit about what this decision means and doesn't mean. I think we need to be clear that it wears an incredible victory. It does not mean, even if it does go all the way to the Supreme Court, there's some talk about that. Everyone expects it to go to the Supreme Court. It may very well not. They could decline to hear it.
Sure.
But this is specific to California and their proposition. Even if it goes to the Supreme Court and they rule in our favor, that doesn't mean that
doesn't
all of a sudden all gay and lesbian couples in America are going to be able to get married. I just think that needs to be pointed out.
It could, though, depending on how they rule.
It could depend on how they rule, but I think that would be a really sweeping rule that I just don't expect.
Judge Walker's decision applies to California.
It applies to California.
This proposition.
Exactly.
And here's where this proposition is very specific, and where even the Supreme Court ruling could be very narrow. The ruling does two things. The lawsuit is charging two things. First of all, it's ruling that it took away rights that were given to people. In other words,
exactly.
Gays and lesbians were given the right to marry, and those rights were cut off.
Exactly.
No other state has done that.
Right.
The other thing that it would rule is based on the fact that the California Supreme Court ruled that under California law and the California Constitution, gays and lesbians are entitled to equal treatment in the form of marriage. Mm-hmm. No other state, that doesn't apply to any other state,
right,
unless
exactly.
it is prosecuted that way.
Exactly.
In that state. So this could be a very narrow ruling, but it could have very broad implications.
Oh, it could.
The Supreme Court could rule something much, much broader than that.
It could. So.
Well, and what's interesting, and I think we're kind of going along those lines, but to make it more succinct to the people that are listening, Judge Walker based his decision on what's termed, in legal terms, finding of fact. Mm. That is, the references to facts and inferences about those facts that happened during the trial, rather than his interpretation of the law, and that's a legal term called conclusions of the law. And that's applying relevant legal principle. And a lot of legal scholars have said in their discussion after the August 4th decision was that finding a decision rendered by finding a fact is much harder to overturn in appeal. Much, much, much harder to overturn. So the way he wrote his opinion, many scholars agree, is going to be very hard to overturn.
Well, and also, like we discussed before the show, a lot of people misunderstand what appeal even means. They think it's a new trial. It is not. It is not a new trial. They're specifically taking what happened in the lower court. So you can't bring in new evidence. You can't bring in new witnesses, et cetera, et cetera. And based on what they brought to the lower court, it's going to be really difficult for them, and our thinking, common sense, to overturn that.
Well, I think one of the most interesting things about the process of it all was the day before the decision, the opposition, those who were supporting Prop 8, filed a motion with the judge to do a stay.
To stay,
should
yes.
the decision that he was about to announce the next day, be against them. And then, of course, our side requested a stay as well. But the opposition, those who support Prop 8, submitted a request for a stay. And such interesting grounds. They basically said that when couples got married in California and then it was stopped, and there were these 18,000 couples out there that were married, and nobody could get married after that, that if they were to allow them to start getting married again and then stop it, it would inflict harm on the affected couples and place administrative burdens on the state. So they were concerned that gay couples would be hurt
or
harmed in some way if they were allowed to get married and then this law was yanked back.
Aren't we grateful for...
Isn't that bizarre?
Yes. Aren't we grateful for their concern? And I'll speak as one of... as half of one of the 18,000 couples that did get married in California. My partner and I were married in August of 2008 at the San Mateo County Courthouse. That... You know, their concern for us is just so appreciated. What's one thing that's interesting is I think the background of the lawyers who argued the case, and here's where more drama comes in.
Isn't this fascinating?
This is. Go ahead, David.
Go ahead and talk about it.
Well, there are the two main lawyers that argued the case, David Boies. And his last name is spelled B-O-I-E-S. Ted Olson, who was the Solicitor General under George Bush, the younger, are polar opposites in terms of their approach to the law and, I suppose, the kind of labels we give them. Boies is a liberal and Olson's a conservative. As a matter of fact, they were on opposite side in the Supreme Court case Bush versus Gore in 2000 that argued about the outcome of the 2000 election. They were on opposite sides. Well, Ted Olson, the staunch conservative, has just, to me, he has provided such a brilliant and just amazing rationale for why Prop 8 should be struck down from a conservative's point of view. And I would urge everybody listening to go out and Google Ted Olson. And his last name is spelled O-L-S-O-N, Ted Olson. And he had a cover story in January of this year on the conservative case for marriage, and he laid out, you know, in many pages his own personal principles right before the trial started. It was just an amazing read, and it nearly brought me to tears because, again, this is what we've been fighting for all our life. This morning he was on Fox News, and he was being interviewed by Chris Wallace, and again, Fox News. Well, everybody who's listening knows about Fox News. But Chris Wallace was the moderator, was trying very lamely, I would say, to try to argue, you know, to break down Olson's arguments for overturning Prop 8, and Olson just laid him bare on the ground. I mean, there is no way to describe it other than that. It was, and finally, Chris said, well, time to go to break.
And here's the real question, Patty. Why was Louise watching Fox News?
I was watching Fox News because I knew that Ted Olson was going to be on it. And, in fact, my partner Vivian said, Ted Olson's going to be on it. And Ted Olson gives the most compelling arguments. And again, this guy has, I mean, his conservative credentials are impeccable.
Yeah. Now, so the argument that the right wing is throwing out there is the usual. Activist judges, left-wing liberal media, left-wing this, left-wing, changing everything as it's been since. So the judge was originally a Reagan appointee.
Right.
Eventually appointed to the current bench, and had been appointed to his first bench by Reagan, appointed to this bench by first Bush. Ted Olson, who prosecuted the case for our side, he was the Solicitor General under George Bush, younger George Bush. So this is what we're getting from...
And Ted Olson, is an interesting figure anyway, in the attacks on September 11th, 2001.
Yes.
His wife was on the plane that hit the Pentagon.
Yes.
And they were able to speak by phone, and they both knew what was going to happen.
Yes.
And just such a tragedy in his life, and yet he stands up and he carries on, and he became, you know, as he was the Solicitor General and
right.
then took on this case. I mean, the man carries some gravitas in a way on both sides. of the aisle, so to speak.
He does. And if people can, I mean, first of all, I'd go out to Fox News and take a look at that clip on Fox News from this morning. But let me say this final thought, that my partner Vivian made an observation this morning after we watched him, and she said, Ted Olson is our Atticus Finch. Yes. And by that, she was referring to Atticus Finch, who was the fictional lawyer in the Pulitzer Prize-winning book, To Kill a Mockingbird, by Harper Lee. The book is celebrating its 50th anniversary. Mm-hmm. And Atticus Finch took on a case that no one wanted to take on, defending a black man who was falsely accused of raping a white woman in the South in the 30s.
We need to take a break. We're talking to Louise Young, talking about Proposition 8. We'll be back with more right after this.
You're listening to KNON 89.3 FM, the voice of the people. This is the only station in the Metroplex that can say, don't touch that dial, we'll change the station for you. KNON is the open mic for the whole community. Do you want to keep that mic on for this show? What you're listening to right now will only be here in the future if you pick up the phone now and call 972-647-1893. Your money matters. Two-thirds of KNON's budget comes from you, the KNON listener. If you've done your part, we thank you. If you're waiting for the pledge drive to finish, you might wait out the existence of this show on KNON. Do your part while you can. Call now, 972-647-1893.
You're listening to Lambda Weekly on 89.3 KNON FM HD1 in Dallas and Fort Worth, the voice of the people.
And we're back with more Lambda Weekly. I'm David Taffet here in the studio with Patty Fink and Lauren Landis and Alex the intern. Alex is waiting for your phone calls because it is pledge drive. And we do need you to give us a call. We've gotten several calls already, and thank you everybody who has called in and pledged to KNON and to Lambda Weekly. You know, when your money goes to KNON, the money is going directly toward the operation of the station. It's not like some other stations that build big fancy studios and pay for expensive programming, because let me tell you, Patty and Lauren, they are cheap. And in every
really
sense,
cheap.
In every sense of the word. They are. But our station manager is cheap. Dave, we love you, but you're cheap too. Compared to the station manager at any other station in this city. We do it because we love community radio. So give us a call. The number is Metro 972-647-1893. Thank you for whoever just called us. Lauren.
No, I was going to say, you know, some of my friends tell me who listen to the show periodically, they love the fact that we're the only place in all of North Texas that they can hear in-depth conversations about our issues. And you might hear, of course, the Prop 8 story you're going to hear on basically any channel, in any national channel right now, but you will get a snippet of it. Mm-hmm. Where else are you going to hear on North Texas a whole hour about it in depth from our perspective? You're not going to. So please, if you want that to keep continuing, help us stay on the air. Our number is 972-647-1893.
Well, and you know what, Laurel? I have an idea to follow up on that, and this is Louise Young, and I've been an activist for 40 years and a longtime activist in our community. And, you know, just sitting here talking with all of you all about Prop 8 and the incredible, the incredible impact that it's going to have, current and future, it makes me think, you know, it's a time to celebrate. And I can't think of a better way than just picking up the phone right now. I mean, if you're excited about what we're talking about Prop 8, and you're just really happy about hearing the judgment and the judicial decision, pick up the phone. I mean, it's a way to tangibly do something.
It is.
And just pick up the phone, and I know I've already pledged. I want one of those cool backpacks, but make a donation. Express your joy.
Yeah, and for a $25 pledge, we have a couple of gift certificates to the Alligator Cafe at 4416 Live Oak in Dallas. And thank you to the Alligator Cafe for donating those to KNON.
And if you're listening to the podcast on iTunes, you can still go to www.knon.org and click on the pledge button. And be sure to list, and you'll fill out your information and how much you want to pledge, and be sure to list Lambda Weekly as the show that drove you there, And you can still pledge throughout the week. You can still pledge and help support KNON and Lambda Weekly.
Yeah, just before the break, we were giving props to some conservatives, particularly Ted Olson. I think we should give props to another conservative. He's a moderate, but still, just Arnold Schwarzenegger. And that is because Judge Vaughn did grant the other side stay. Well, Governor Schwarzenegger saying, no, don't do that. Let's resume gay marriages right now. I think that's wonderful, and I didn't expect that from him.
And the case is actually styled Perry versus Schwarzenegger.
It is. It is.
So, and he hasn't really stood up and pounded
defend it, no.
You know, and interestingly enough, I like that you're bringing that up, and I can't remember how many years ago it was, but it was while Schwarzenegger has been governor, mm-hmm. that gay marriage was passed in both houses of the California legislature, but the governor twice. Thank you.
He did veto it.
And he did veto it. And fast forward to this week when he issued the public opinion, as you said, saying that there's no reason to issue a stay on gay men and lesbians being able to marry the person of their choice based. Now that we have Judge Walker's opinion, let's go for it now.
So Judge Walker, who was appointed by first Bush and Reagan, the defense or the plaintiff's attorney, who was our side, who was the Solicitor General under George Bush, and the Republican governor of California.
Yeah, Louise, all agree.
Louise, I'm feeling lightheaded here. I'm not feeling quite right here. What is wrong with this picture?
Well, that's interesting. Where's the disconnect with the Republican Party or any conservatives who are so vehemently fighting against gay marriage? And then you have other conservatives, particularly conservative judges, who are going our way.
You know, I saw a story on this earlier this week, and they were talking about how really it is a conservative issue, because here are these gay people who are fighting for the very conservative institution of marriage. Now, of course, Laurent, and Laurent's T-shirt says marriage is so gay.
That's right, it does.
But you know, marriage is conservative. Laurent was married, Louise was married, Patty, you and Aaron weren't, me. I was going to comment.
It's finally nice to be in a studio with someone else who's been legally married. I'm not the only one today.
Right. Finally.
Finally.
But it is a conservative issue, really. Mm-hmm. And that's what they're basing their opinions on the idea that marriage is a very conservative value. We're talking about fidelity. We're talking about establishing a very traditional institution here where you, like you have Laurent, had kids, and you're sending her to school, and you become a part of the, it's one more way to become a very important part of the community.
Well, go ahead, Patty. Please.
I was just going to say, we've talked about this many times on the air about how, the right wing says, oh, don't be promiscuous. Oh, you want to get married? Well, you can't get married.
is it?
Right, but I've noted this many times too, because I think it's in their best interest, given that they have to have somebody to demonize, if they would allow two consenting adults to marry, gay couples, straight couples, and then they could just demonize the heck out of the people shacking up, and they would love that.
Well, interestingly enough, to me, one of the things that's really at the heart of the whole issue of gay marriage is not so much, and this is my personal opinion, is not so much the term marriage itself, but it's the legal rights that the institution of marriage, as defined by the states in the United States, gives to a couple. Mm-hmm. That, and I'm actually quoting from Ted Olson's Newsweek article in January. He says that the state has accorded official sanction to a relationship and has provided special benefits to those who enter into that relationship. So, in other words, there are legal rights that are offered to people who enter into marriage.
Over a thousand federal ones.
And that's a number that has nothing to do with religion.
That grows every year. Things like taxes. The taxes that we had.
Let's not start taxes.
No, but the taxes we had when the Constitution were written are different than the taxes we have now, and tax law always acknowledges gay and lesbian, or always acknowledges married couples that gays and lesbians have gotten excluded from. You have all kinds of laws like that that have nothing to do with the original Constitution that have been put into place, that every time they put it into place and it's and a married couple gets to do this, it's like, okay, what about us?
Well, but the biggest thing for me is these, you know, they say, well, you can just get those papers. And you can spend, you know, $10,000, $15,000, whatever it takes to get these papers. Wills, powers of attorney, all of these things, these contracts that they say, oh, well, you can just get those. You don't need marriage. You just get those papers. Well, guess what? Even if you've got the stupid papers, they don't always hold up.
They don't always hold up, and some papers cannot duplicate something.
Except you can't reconstruct those rights out of paper.
You can't. You cannot duplicate benefits, Social Security benefits. You can't duplicate that, period.
Well, and a great example that we use when we talk about, you know, diversity training at the various first responder academies is Raymond Burr. Raymond Burr was with a partner for 30 years. They had an orchid business. They had a winery.
A Raymond Burr of Perry Mason fame.
Yes, of Perry Mason fame, exactly. Mm-hmm. And when they had papers and everything, and when he passed away, he left everything to his partner. And a third cousin shows up and challenges all the papers. And so his partner ultimately prevailed, but it cost him tens of thousands of dollars to defend it. And if had they been married, had they been a straight couple, nobody would have even entertained challenging that relationship and that will.
Right. Well,
it would be no point.
And again, here's the key, and to many in our community who even say, well, you know, I don't care about marriage, but you know, the fact of the matter is that in our society, or in the legal context, marriage equals legal rights. Mm-hmm. Legal rights that we have to pay for, and that, as Patty and Laurent have said, can be very ineffectual, you know, depending on how they are written. Now, for example, what, there are five states that allow gay marriage. Is it five and Washington, D.C.?
Yes.
All right. Let's say you're married in one of those states, and let's say you're a resident of Iowa, one of the five that offers gay marriage, and you travel out of state, and something happens to a partner of the couple that requires a medical emergency, you still have to have papers. Mm-hmm. Even though you're in one of those five states or Washington, D.C., you still have to have papers drawn up, because there are so many other states that have written discrimination into their constitution and that would not recognize the marriage from that state. So, I mean,
What's interesting about it also is that if you're a heterosexual couple, and you're using the same last name, especially, if something happened to you in another state or happened in your own state, if you present yourself as, hi, I'm Mrs. Jones and this is Mr. Jones, or, you know, or, yes, don't worry about it, she's mm-hmm. my wife, take her to the emergency room.
There's no question.
Yeah. No question. No ever. Question. No question about mm-hmm. it. They don't, you know, of course you're together, you're here in the same house, of course you're married. And that's
nobody ever asked, well, let's see that marriage certificate.
Yeah, do you have a marriage
let's
license?
Let's see that power
it.
Of attorney. Let's right. see that.
And I think one of the best examples of what marriage means legally is, you know, look at the Terri Schiavo case. Mm-hmm. You know, that's what that was about. You know, though her parents were vehemently against them pulling the plug, she was married, and her husband had the right to do what he wanted.
Mm-hmm. Just one last thing. Alex just got off the phone. It is pledge drive today. Give us a call, Metro 972-647-1893. I want to thank everybody who has called in today, but we're going back on
you know, one of the things that the other side proposed in this trial as the, you know, pivotal reason to give special rights to heterosexual couples was this ability to procreate. And so basically they were saying that the only reason for marriage, the primary reason for marriage, was to procreate. And I attended a wedding yesterday, and we grilled the couple who were as old as we are or older, mm-hmm. and have had kids by
heterosexual couple.
And I said, now, you know, the other side says that you shouldn't be getting married if you're not going to procreate. Are you going to procreate?
Right.
And when are you going to do that? Well, and they just laughed.
And the decision addresses that specifically. One of the things the judge said was proponents' arguments that tradition prefers opposite-sex couples to same-sex couples equates the notion that opposite-sex that's not the one. It was the one about He addresses that directly. He does say though that there is nothing in a marriage license that requires a heterosexual couple to procreate, and nothing ever questions them about whether or not they are even able to procreate, and we always do marry older couples, and
absolutely,
we always do marry couples even if one of the members of the couple is infertile, so that is an invalid.
It doesn't even come up.
It doesn't even come up.
Well,
he says it's an invalid argument on their part.
I thought it was funny. Last summer, you know, Gabrielle was only about 6 months at the time. One of Danny's cousins got married. We went to the wedding. Of course, Gabrielle was there. And after the wedding, we didn't even know this, I guess one of them knows that they can't have children, some fertility issues. They said, well, we need to call you guys and talk to you. You don't have to help us. How do we go about adopting or having a baby through surrogacy? And I thought, isn't that interesting and ironic? The straight couple is calling the gay couple to help with how to have a kid.
No, isn't more than ironic, isn't that the way it should be?
Well,
it should be.
And you know what's interesting, and you know, I hope that at some point in the future that we're going to see an end of the ability of the right wing to effectively demonize us and thus sway public opinion, just like the vote on Proposition 8 was. I mean, basically it was providing, you know, these arguments that were just emotionally based and had nothing to do with the facts.
And he addresses that too. He said the campaign relied heavily on negative stereotypes about gays and lesbians and focused on protecting children from threats vaguely associated with gays and lesbians.
And you know something that was brought up today on Fox News, and I know we're running out of time, but I do want to get this in, that Chris Wallace, the conservative moderator, said to Ted Olson, who was our champion in the argument, the lawyer, he said, started talking about judicial activism. Well, Ted Olson said, you know, Chris, this is why we have the balance of powers and of separation of powers in our government and our United States government, so that one group, i.e. the voters, cannot overrule the rights of a minority.
Right. And it should have never been put up for vote in first place.
And so that the legislature can override, and so that the executive can override. There is a reason
That's why our country is so great.
And that's, Rachel Maddow pointed it out. She said, they're called rights. They should not be voted on, and that's why they're called rights.
Exactly. Louise, thank you so much for being here.
Oh, it's been a pleasure.
Thanks, Louise.
We figured it is 7 years since Louise has been on. You need to come back a lot sooner than that.
I will.
Good. And LaRon, you're sticking around for the Polka Show. Patty is not. I can't believe you're not staying for Polka with us.
What can I say?
It is Pledge Drive. Give us a call. And Alex is on the phone right now. Thank you to everybody who did call in today. We're going out with music from
David Guetta.
Supposed to do after all that we've been through, when everything that felt so right is wrong, now that the love is gone, there is nothing left to prove, now you still deny this simple truth, can't find the reason to keep holding on, now that the love is gone, love is gone.
KNON 89.3 FM and HD1 Dallas, the voice.